This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. As we celebrate Labor Day weekend, Pastor Scott reflects upon God's model for the work week and how we, as believers, should approach work. This message was delivered on September 3rd, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Go ahead, ushers. Good morning, New Hope. What a beautiful day, yeah, from yesterday to today, just a wonderful, wonderful weather for Labor Day weekend. I haven't seen that much motorcycles on the road, have you? Yeah, maybe I haven't been driving that much, because driving and me. Somebody told me the other week, every time I get mad when I drive, I think about you. I wonder why. I was riding with John this week. We were riding in my car. We were going on this stretch. It was raining, and somebody was driving like 30 miles an hour in front of me. And I was like, okay, I got to be good because John is with me. And I was thinking, like, see, John, it always happens to me. You're my witness. I mean, it was like, it was driving me nuts, man. 30 miles an hour from Pier all the way to Pahoa. Oh, it should have took 10 minutes, took like 15 or 20. Like, oh. Well, happy Labor Day weekend. Those of you are here today, I guess you couldn't get your permit for Spencer Park because they're all full, or your hotel reservations, or maybe because you don't have a Harley Davidson to ride around the island. Yeah, because I don't have one. And I don't think I should, because I'd be more reckless. I might get to heaven sooner than expected. Yeah. How many of you love your job? Yeah. That's all the retired people who would raise their hand. Pastor Aaron works for us. I don't think his hand went up. He loves his other job, the fishing job. The reason I ask, the Bible tells us that 6 days out of the week we shall labor. You know that the Bible says that we gotta work 6 days a week. That's terrible, yeah? Exodus 20:8-9. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. I mean, shoot, 6 days? Seriously? Come on, God. We work 6 days and then Sunday we gotta get up early for church? Wow. If we had to do that, I think less people might be in church. 5 days a week was more than enough for me. I always envied those guys. Those guys who get four 10-hour days? Man, I mean, I do 10-hour days anyway. Why not do it four? Those four 10-hour days. I'm like, wow, you blessed, man. And you get 3 days off. For me, 5 days work and 2 days off. The 2 days off is not enough to do that wife, the honey-do list. Husbands, you get that honey-do list, right? Fix the garage, fix the toilet, fix the sink, fix this, fix that. And when you finish fixing everything, find something else to fix, right? I mean, 2 days a week is not enough for that honey-do list. I mean, we labor so much, and maybe some of you, You work 5 days a week. Some of you, I know, like Pastor Dennis, he works 6 days a week. I mean, it's like, wow, that's tough. When you got to be at your workplace 6 days and possibly 8 hours a day, wow. I think that's rough, but the Bible says 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And the seventh day you just sleep in and sleep and rest. Maybe, maybe not. To labor 6 days a week when you might not like your job. Oh, how many of you have been there, done that? Work at a place where you really don't want to be. I mean, I've been there, I've done that. And to get out of bed, to get dressed, to go to work when you really, really don't want to be there, it's really hard. And the only thing that made me do it was knowing that I had a mouth to feed, mine, right? I used to work so I could feed myself. And then you had bills to pay. I mean, pretty much that's why when we had a terrible job, when we had a that we didn't like, we went because we wanted to eat, right? And we had bills to pay. My lifetime, I had like 13 jobs. I think I got fired from one job. But that's okay because I really didn't want to work there anyway. And all the jobs, mostly all the jobs I had started off good, really good. But it turned out bad. And, you know, you spend sometimes up to 70 hours a week in a place that makes you miserable. I don't think that's healthy. And the time, oh, my gosh. You know, why can't the time drag that slowly when I'm sleeping? You know what? You ever get up in the middle of the night hoping that, you know, or early in the morning hoping that, oh, I hope it's still like 2 o'clock in the morning and I got some more hours to sleep? You ever do that? And you like get up, it's like, oh, it's like this morning, get up at 3 o'clock. Here, shoot, it's 3 o'clock. Come on, I have like another hour to sleep. But I'm up already, like, oh, man. Or sometimes I get up and I look and like, wow, it's only midnight. Yeah, I got 5 more hours to sleep. Oh, as soon. But sometimes when you're working, you look at, so, it's 8 o'clock, I only work 1 hour. 9 o'clock, I only work 2 hours. 10 o'clock, I got 2 hours left to even go to lunch. And when you had a job that is miserable, the time just drags and drags. So what do you do if you really don't like your job? Well, you kind of quit, right? Because you got to feed yourself, your family. You got to pay your bills. You got to pay your mortgage. Strangle you to death. That's terrible, John. Thanks for sharing that with me. Oh. Strangle death. If you forget anything during church, I guess you're going to remember that now. Mortgage. Oh, bad word. But, you know, what do you do if you don't like your job, but you got to pay bills, you got to put food on the table? And I want to share with you some things that helped me. And a lot of it has to do with attitude. Attitude. With enjoying your labors and doing stuff that sometimes you don't want to do. Now, if each of us was to put on a different attitude when we labor, when we go to work, it makes all the difference in the world. It made the difference for me. You know, if we say like, well, hey, at least I have a job. I hear so many people having to move away just to find a job, a decent job. Or so many people out there trying to find a job that can help make ends meet and pay their bills, but it's so hard to find. So if we look at our job that we get to go to as like, you know, I get to go to this job, at least I have a job that pays the bills, so I have a roof over my head and puts food on the table. We have to look at things from a different perspective. We need to have a I get to attitude instead of I have to. Sometimes my wife tells me, oh, I gotta do this. No, you don't gotta. You don't have to wash the laundry. Okay? You just simply don't have to do it. If you don't do it, then you don't do it. You know, I'm not telling you better or else. You know, I get to do this. And if you don't do it, then I guess I will do it. But you don't have to. You get to. You know, sometimes we think, oh, my job stinks. And, you know, if we go through life thinking like, oh, I gotta do this. Or, you know, there's always choices and consequences. Like, I gotta go to work. But if I don't go to work, then the consequences is like, man, well, then who's gonna pay my bills? Or who's gonna put food on the table? So there's always the consequence and the choice and the consequence. But here's the thing. When we go to work, number one, we got to know who you're working for. You really got to understand what the Word of God says when it comes to work. In Colossians 3:23, Paul writes, work willingly at whatever job, whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. I mean, when you go to your job with that attitude, that you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Because to be honest, some bosses can be real jerks, right? How many of you ever had a donkey for a boss? Yeah, the King James version of donkey, right? Paul is writing from a prison in Rome, and he's writing to this church at Colossae, and he writes as advice to Epaphras, who planted this church, but he's having issues with false teaching, which was covered in the first two chapters, and now Paul transitions to chapter 3, and he talks about our new life in Christ, and here specifically he's giving instructions for Christian households. He starts by teaching about husbands and wives and how they should relate, and then the children and the parents, and then slaves to masters, and then he closes with working and consequences. And since the creation, God has given us work to do. And if we could think of our work, okay, think of your job, think of what we do as an act of worship or service to God. And such an attitude would take some of the misery and boredom out of our work. I mean, maybe we would work without complaining or resenting. We would treat our job problems as, you know, the cost of discipleship. Colossians 3:24-25. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favorites. Now, this obedience to work is to be done with sincerity of heart. And we cannot work good and hard just when the boss is watching us, right? Because as soon as he turns his back and he goes into the office, boom, hello, or on Facebook or checking your phone. How many of you go shopping on Amazon? Right? If the boss is gone, will the job get done? Will it get done better or just as good as he's there or if he's not there? Now, if we understand that we're working for the Lord, we're doing our work for him, then maybe we do a job well done, whether the boss is there or not. So that has a lot to do with it. Remember, when you go to work, you're working for the Lord. And number two, work to please God, not man. This helped me so much. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Paul's instruction encourages us to be responsible, to work with integrity. You know, Christian employees should do their jobs as if Jesus was their supervisor. And Christian employers should treat their employees fairly and with respect. Now, like I said, if you were left alone, would the job be done? Would it be done just as good or not? In everything we do, whether work, play, recreation, it should be all done with an attitude that I want to do it in a way that the Lord was pleased. When I learned about this and I went back to work, I didn't worry about making my boss happy anymore. I just went to work saying, Lord, I'm going to work in such a way that you would be pleased. And when I did that, I didn't worry about what my boss said. I didn't have to worry, because God took care of all of that. And it was such an amazing thing when I went to work with this attitude, because my boss didn't know that I changed my attitude. I just went to work saying, I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to do this to please you. And you know what happened, which never happened before at this job? My boss actually came up behind me and said, "Wow, good job, Scott." And I swore, because I was in shock. I mean, I said the S word, the four-letter S word. I went, "Holy, you know what?" And because I was in shock. My boss would never tell me good job. Never, ever, of all the years I worked under him. Everything I did was, he criticized me. He cut me down. He tore me up in front of people. But when I went to work, saying I'm going to do this to please you and not that jerk, man, God, thank God he's not in this church, because he would know I'd be talking about him. And, you know, it was like, wow, going to work with just that mindset. I mean, I'm pretty sure I did the same thing, just with a different attitude. And it was like, wow, I worked to please God and not man. That means, like, now, when I cook for my wife, doesn't mean that I cook and sometimes I like to cook. I like to say, I cook and she clean, right? So I cook and I leave the sink full of dishes, pots on the stove, and I did my share. You know, now it means that, like, yeah, I cook and I clean as I go. So, because I'm doing it not to please her, but I'm doing it to please God. And sometimes, I can grumble, you know, to myself, like, I got to cook, I got to clean up, I got to put away the food. Oh, man, ungrateful family. You ever feel like that? Yeah, sometimes I feel like Mr. Mom. But then when I change my attitude, like, wow, Lord, thank you so much that I get to cook for my wife and my family. Thank you so much that I have a stove and pots and pans and food to cook. And thank you that I have to wash all this. That means I have dishes to wash, because that means I have dishes, right? And then I think about the homeless people pushing a shopping cart and everything they own is in there. And so, well, I could live like that and not have to worry about washing dishes, because I have nothing to cook. I'm probably looking for food out of a rubbish can, right? And I wouldn't have to cook for anybody, because I wouldn't have a house. But when I work to please God, I do it the best I can, amen? As a Christian, as followers of Christ, all of us here, we should be on every employer's wish list. I want to hire those guys from New Hope East Hawaii, because you know what? They work as they work for the Lord. They go the extra mile. They do the job complete. When I have learned that the only one I had to please was God, man, oh, think about it. Simplifies your life. You don't have to please your spouse. You don't have to please your friends. You don't have to please your boss. All you do is please God. Everything else will fall into place. Of course, that means we got to do everything with that spirit of excellence. Amen? Meaning when we cross the T's, we dot the I's, we cook and we clean. You know, we do everything. We do it complete. And then number three, we got to learn to work in harmony. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. I mean, if we were totally honest, we all have that one coworker. You know that one that gets under your skin? The one who, when nobody's looking, they slack. And you have those, right? I mean, it's like, drives you crazy. Right? And hopefully they're not sitting next to you. They don't do their job. They work the system. They take advantage. They kiss up to the boss. I mean, we all had them. I think God put them there to teach us a lesson. Right? God put us there to say, hey, don't look at them, look at me. Because when we take our eyes off the cross and we look at other people, we can get mad. When I look at other people and how they drive, drives me nuts when they go to red lights and they go the wrong way, and you know, because I'm not focused on me driving. That's the secret. You know, I had those kind of coworkers, and I got frustrated with them. I had people sabotage them, and was sad because, you know what? Although I wasn't going to church, I did nothing to stop it. I mean, I seen coworkers super glue combination locks so the other guys cannot open it up, and it's like, and I stood there and I watched, and I think like, I think back and like, wow, I never did nothing. I seen people who, when they put the trash bags in for the next shift, they get the razor blade and they cut it and they put it in the trash bag. So when the next guy pulls it out, trash all over the place. And I like, man, I never did not. That's my sin. I never did nothing to stop it. Although I wasn't going to church, I still knew that was wrong. You know, because they didn't like their coworkers, and it was sad. And I think living with peace with others takes humility and also a lot of self-controls. But, you know, God calls us to do that. And sometimes in order for us to live at peace with each other, we cannot look at what they're doing, but we just got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen? And that will help us because, man, it can get frustrating when people don't pull their weight. And then number four, don't avoid work, especially the hard stuff. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. Oh, gosh, I love to eat. I think I need to work 3 jobs. I really do. I love food. And the thing is, in my old age, I cannot eat as much. Sad. When I was young, your age, I could sit down and eat at least 2 plate lunches in one sitting. I can barely finish one now. And that's sad because it takes me longer to enjoy all the food that there is to eat out there. Especially in Hawaii, yeah? We just got the best of every culture, of every food. In Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he encourages them to live properly. And the individuals in view were those who could work but chose not to work. And they were supported by other Christians out of a sense of charity. But if you can work, then we need to work. Man, if I was a chef, I think, man, that would be the job, yeah? Working so that you can eat. But that, because you can probably work and eat at the same time. Yeah, this Labor Day weekend, you know, Labor Day is a day that we celebrate the laborers, the guys who helped build this country. It's a day that they give off on a holiday tomorrow. Man, if you work, then enjoy the day off tomorrow because you deserved it. But if you gotta work, then well, you make sure, because the Bible says 6 days you work and 1 day off. I think that's unfair, but that's what the Bible says. I think 5 days of work and 2 days off is fair enough. And the guys who work 4-10s will shame on you. Because that's 3 days you're working, and maybe you got to go find a part-time job for that two extra days. But the bottom line is, people are watching. Be a good witness for the Lord, because we are Christ's ambassadors, and people may be watching how we work, how we do our job, what kind of attitude we have when we work. Is it a good attitude, a bad attitude? Do they grumble? Do they complain? And if so, hey, I thought they go to church. People are watching us, the way we do things in our workplace. And that might determine whether or not they may come to love the Lord as their Savior. By watching us, we might be the only Bible they see, we read. And it's important for us to do things in such a way as like say, I get to. It's important for us to know that when we work for the Lord. Amen. Hey, we're going to close today. I know a lot of you have been asking if we are going to take an offering for the Hurricane Harvey relief. And through our denomination, Foursquare, they said, this is what they put out there for us. When disaster strikes, the Foursquare Church responds through its ministry, Foursquare Disaster Relief. And local churches infected in areas, to be successful, we need pastors like you to keep your church informed, praying and giving. Thank you for your partnership. So here's what's happening. While Hurricane Harvey may not have hit our church, our fellow Foursquare churches need our help. This is what we know. In Texas, the fallout from Hurricane Harvey, a Category 4 storm, rages on. Communities have been hit hard in Houston. Homes are underwater. Shelters are housing displaced evacuees who lost everything. People are desperate for food and clean water. The storm still has momentum, causing alarm in Louisiana and nearby southern states. So we got some slides that they put on our website. And, man, look at that. Okay, so you see that sign? That's probably over my head. Look at that one. That is definitely over my head. I'd be hanging on to that sign because I can't swim. Foursquare churches in flooded areas like Life Church and La Vida in Angleton, Texas, are praying with people and feeding more than 200 people living in shelters. Communities like this are completely cut off from receiving outside supplies. Fortunately, funds can be sent through Foursquare Disaster Relief to support aid efforts already in motion. So here, what we can do as a church family. Right now, the most important thing we can do is pray and give. Foursquare first responders have been deployed, and there will be opportunities to volunteer through Foursquare Disaster Relief in the coming weeks. For those interested, today, yeah, so if you are interested, you can go to our website and see if you can get on to Foursquare Disaster Relief to see if you want to be deployed. We are coming together to lift up our prayers for our brothers and sisters and our fellow citizens to take up an offering to help alleviate the suffering of those who have lost so much. So they say prayer points, pray for the storm to end, pray for physical needs, pray for emotional strength. So that's what we need to be praying for. If you feel compelled to give, then give. And if you can't give, and that's fine, but we ask that you pray. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we pray for the storm to end, for Harvey to dissipate, and that it will not cause any more damage. We pray, Lord, for the physical needs of the people in Houston and the surrounding areas, that you would use the churches to help meet their physical needs. And Lord, for emotional strength, for those who have lost everything, remind them that they still have you, that you would never leave them nor forsake them. And Lord, as we give this morning to help the victims of Hurricane Harvey, Lord, as we give, let these finances go out and multiply them. Let them help meet the physical needs of those who lost everything. Let them know that here in Hawaii, people love them, even though we don't know them. So Lord, I ask you, bless the gift and the giver as we support those who are suffering. We thank you so much that we get to give. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.